Well, good morning and welcome. My name's Adam Knowles. I'm a pastor here at WMB Church, and it's so good to be with you. As you can see, I'm on special location as we have our kids' musical happening right now at our Waterloo site, which is just so fantastic. Our kids, through music and song and story, are presenting the gospel, and that is just something to celebrate. And this morning here online, we're going to go deeper into our series, For Unto Us. This month, we've been reflecting on the words from the prophet Isaiah, who said, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." And we've been exploring this incredible gift, who is Jesus, the gift of Christmas, which is for us. And this morning, in the season of Advent, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas and the coming of Jesus, we're specifically celebrating joy. And so we'll light the joy candle. And this morning, I'd love to explore, what do we mean when we say joy? It's a word that we use a lot in the church and out in the public, but what does it really mean? Is there a difference in between joy and happiness? This pursuit of happiness, what does it bring us? I mean, wealth, leisure, possessions, quality of life, technological advancements. They're all expressed to us as good news that have benefits. But are we happier? A 2020 article in a US magazine called The Atlantic shows that although even adjusted for inflation, income is higher in the States than ever. Average homes are larger than ever with twice as much living space in new builds. We now have the internet with instant access to both entertainment and information. And yet, a study performed in the States shows that consistent long-term happiness has declined. And there's been a rise in unhappiness from 1988 up until the time of the study. This article has connected that consumption doesn't lead to happiness and would even agree that that's not even a new idea, that our society as a whole has placed our hope in governments, in technologies, and that hope is misplaced. And I think it's interesting that this secular magazine has come to the conclusion that we don't get happier as our society gets richer because we chase the wrong things. Now, I mentioned before joy and happiness. Is there a difference? And I will say that I don't typically like it when people make arbitrary choices in language, making differences in synonyms where none exists. So let me start by apologizing if that's what I'm about to do here. But I believe there is a difference in between happiness and joy, even if Merriam-Webster's dictionary doesn't suggest much of a difference. Or maybe it's just a way of helping us differentiate what I'm about to talk about. So bear with me. But let me suggest that for our purposes today, that happiness is a fleeting state of contentment and pleasure that we attempt to gain through our own efforts and self-interest. Joy, on the other hand, is a fruit of the Spirit, a contentment and well-being that results from being in God's presence. It isn't dependent on circumstance. And that is precisely what I want to share with you today. The secret to true joy is to accept God's invitation to dwell in His presence. So today, as we're in this season of Advent, and specifically this morning, as we've lit the joy candle, I want to dive into the Gospel of Luke in a well-loved story to consider what true joy is. And so I invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And as you open your Bibles, I want to invite you into this scene. In the verses just before this, Mary and Joseph have come to Bethlehem, and Jesus has been born into the very humble setting of what was most likely a stable or even a cave where animals were kept. And although this incredible event was humble, it was about to be announced but not in the temple to the high priest, not in a palace to kings or princes. No, again, humbly to a group of shepherds. So I ask you to imagine with me. You're there in the fields outside of Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem. You might be surprised to hear that it's actually a warm spring or summer night. Yeah, it can be a little hard to swallow. I mean, but that's what scholars think, is that as the shepherds were out with their flocks at night, it would have been because the days were too hot. And so they came out in the cool of the evening with their flocks. But if that's a little hard to swallow, then sure. Imagine a nice blanket of snow everywhere, because it doesn't really matter, even if you're wrong. So there we are. We're shepherds. We're out in the fields. It's another day of working, of hanging out with each other. We have no expectations. I mean, imagine how you would feel on a typical work day. All right. So let's listen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." While we're imagining, can you imagine being an angel? I mean, every time you make yourself visible, you terrify everyone. Right away, you have to deliver the words that you got in your angel training sessions. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Please get up. No, you're not going to die. No, just the opposite. This angel is here with news, news that is good, news that causes great joy. Joy not just for some, but all of the people. In Greek, this is the laos, referring to the people of God. So this is great news for Israel, those that have waited, and much more than that, all people, the receivers of God's promise. So the angel has their attention. What is this great news? Try and take it in like you don't already know, like you are there with a terrifying angel in front of you, and you, a Jewish shepherd, are about to receive the very best news ever. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Do you hear it? Do you see it? Can you feel it? That at the announcement of this news, heaven broke through. A heavenly host appears and worships God. Imagine the celebration, how long this choir of angels has been waiting for this day. Have you ever waited for someone to open a gift that you knew that they would just love? Or have you ever been able to deliver news that you knew would change someone's life? These angels sure did. They have a message of joy. Born to them is the long-awaited Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. What would these words have meant to these shepherds? In short, it's the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. To them, they have received a Lord, a King to reign forever on the throne of David. The Messiah, God's anointed one, the Christ. He is a Savior and he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And yet, this is the sign of all this, is that they will find a baby in a manger. How is a baby the sign for all of this? It's probably not what they would have expected, but it's interesting and it's wonderful that as working shepherds, they are going to find Jesus in a place that they are welcome, where their status, their clothing, their lack of wealth won't turn them away. We continue. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds act right away. They go, they hurry, they go to the baby. This news that it's come to them, it comes to them in the middle of their lives, while they're working, in the midst of a night shift. But they drop everything and they go. Who knows? Did they take their sheep with them? I mean, a lot of our nativity sets have sheep in them. They were given direction and they followed it. The direction was that they would find a baby in a manger. Now, there are a lot of details that are not factual in Christmas carols, but some are. Now, thankfully for our shepherds, O little town of Bethlehem was onto something. Bethlehem was quite small. And so they could go, they could walk into Bethlehem looking for a manger with a baby wrapped in cloths. And that's what they do. The shepherds saw and heard the angels. They went and they met with God in the flesh. And they had joy, a joy that overflowed. And they spread the word, a joy that caused them to glorify and praise God. Joy, what we're celebrating today, what God desires for us to experience every day. When happiness seems so elusive, how do we experience joy? Well, the answer is right here in this story. It's about what God made possible through his plan and mission to unify all of creation under his son, Jesus. Jesus came to earth humbly as a little baby in a manger. Greeted by shepherds, he came to establish God's kingdom here on earth, to die for our sins and to rise again in glory, having defeated the power of sin and death. And he calls us to receive the free gift, the greatest Christmas gift we could ever receive, the gift of salvation and relationship with God. Eternal life. This is the true joy that is being announced, that because of Jesus' saving work, we can live in God's presence through his Spirit. God lives in us. A wise friend of mine, Sos Peter, advises that if you want joy, you need to go to the source of joy itself. C.S. Lewis, a writer and a theologian that many of you know as the author of the Narnia series, has real insight regarding joy and our need to be in and with God to experience that joy. He writes about it in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to it or even into the thing that has them. They're not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. They are a great fountain of energy and beauty, spurting up at the very center of reality. If you're close to it, the spray will wet you. If you are not, you will remain dry. The gift, the prize is relationship with God. The problem is that we ask for the outcome to be the gift, to experience joy or happiness without the relationship, the presence of God. We don't go to the source. Instead, we seek the pleasure. We spend so much of our lives pursuing happiness, chasing pleasure, finding it elusive, fleeting. Even when we get what we want, it is so often empty, short-lived, or disappointing. Has that been your experience? You look for happiness. Maybe you even pray for happiness. Instagram would have us believe that it's right there waiting for us to grasp it. How many times have we seen people make absolutely horrible decisions in the pursuit of happiness when we purely pursue pleasure. Financial ruin, broken marriages and families. C.S. Lewis ponders this as well in his book, Surprised by Joy. He says, I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy. Why? Why do we keep doing this? And I say we because I do it too. I get distracted. Honestly, it's frustrating because I know better. I've experienced the goodness and life that come from pursuing God and enjoying his presence. And yet, it's so easy to fill our lives with other pursuits and things that we believe will bring us joy. Good things even. But the secret to true joy is to accept God's invitation to dwell in his presence. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus came to earth both to be with us, Emmanuel, and to make a way for all people to be with him. This is the good news that will cause great joy for all the people. God wants you to experience true joy, the fulfillment of our deepest needs and desires. We may look for it in many places, but there is only one way to experience it. God doesn't force himself on us. He invites us. It's our choice. Jesus calls us. You can find this invitation so many places, including the Gospel of John. In chapter 15, Jesus gives the parable of the vine and the branches, and he calls us to abide, to rest, to remain, to connect and be in him. Following this, Jesus says in John 15, starting in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Last week, Sean and Michelle, they spoke of God's love. It should come as no surprise that God's love and the joy of his presence are connected. Jesus loves enough that he came down and he laid down his life for us. That through this, we can be in right relationship with God, that we can remain in him. And we do this in obedience, loving one another. And Jesus says clearly, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus's desire is that we would have the same joy that he experiences through his relationship with his heavenly Father and with the Holy Spirit. So what does this look like for us today? How do we accept this invitation to a life of joy? One way is by choosing to begin each day in God's presence. For me, it's to seek God out as the first thing I do each day. Before I read my emails or catch up on the news, I get up, I let my dog out and feed her. That's not an option. And then I sit down and I speak with God. That is, I pray and I read his word. I allow scripture to be the first thing that my mind takes in each day. I allow his word to shape me. It transforms my heart and my mind, and it transforms how I live my day. What does that look like for you? God offers so many ways for us to dwell in his presence in the diverse ways that he has created us. I mentioned earlier the distractions that draw us away from his invitation to joy. When we choose God first, we create space for this to shape the rest of our day. Often I find that his invitation is simply to slow down. It's hard. It's so hard to be frantic and present at the same time. Do I really trust that I can rest in God? Or do I get all antsy and need to be productive and distract myself with busyness? Prayer and spiritual disciplines are a great way to do this. They're a great way of pursuing God's presence. There's different practices modeled by Jesus himself and believers for thousands of years that we can learn from as we desire to turn ourselves towards God. Last week, we talked about loving God by submitting in obedience, and we see joy connected there as well. We experience joy by remaining in God, by walking in obedience and following his ways. This may even be where we experience the power of God's true joy, the enduring contentment that continues, even when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, in suffering. And I find that God is so gracious in all of this. I think that it's important to remember that his invitation is ongoing. Each time I find myself having drifted, become distracted, where I'm empty or discouraged, his Spirit says, come to me, remain in me. As we dwell in God's presence, he fills us with his true joy so that it can flow out of us to those around us. Just like it did for the shepherds, we want to join them in sharing, in spreading true Christmas cheer. As we've said so many times this fall, God desires for us to be a light in the darkness, a blessing to the world around us. It doesn't come from our own strength, but by walking in his presence, being filled by his Spirit and following where he leads us. We want those around us to see this awesome joy pouring out of us, just like it did for the shepherds. The testimony of joy in the midst of pain or trouble, a joy that is so otherworldly and deeper than the world's pursuit of happiness, it holds power. It causes the world to stop and pay attention, to wonder. My prayer is that each of us would experience the joy of God's presence individually and as his church, that we would develop a thirst, a hunger for more, that this would create in us a realization that nothing else will do. And as we come to this realization, the question and the pursuit would become not, have I done enough? Have I given enough? Have I loved or served enough? Have I gone to church enough? But our question would be, how? How do I experience more of God? How do I love others more fully? How do I remain constantly in Jesus? I don't know about you, but I have experienced this joy, and it has made me thirst for more. It can actually be kind of frustrating at times, if I'm honest. I mean, I've become aware of what robs me of joy. And it isn't circumstances, it's not the actions of others. It's usually my choices. When I become distracted and I look to other things. And yet, as I said before, God is patient and his invitation is constant. And this awareness is causing me to pursue God in new ways and to ruthlessly eliminate the things that distract. So I ask, is there something in your life that's robbing you of the joy that God desires for you? And I ask you, do you need joy today? Is that something that you are searching for? Is it something that you are desperate for? Because Google is going to offer you all kinds of pop psychology, a bunch of you-based solutions to find joy in your life. But true joy is not something that you can drum up or produce on your own. True joy is only found in the true source of joy. True joy is found in trusting God. As I said before, the secret to true joy is to accept God's invitation to dwell in his presence. Over and over again, we find promises in God's word, scriptures, that God's joy is available to us. God has revealed this to us and made it plain to us. You should pray and ask God for this joy, to restore joy to you like he did when David asked in Psalm 51, to find joy in God's presence, to find joy in the reading of God's word, let it wash over you, that God would answer your prayers by bringing you this joy. And that he would bring to mind examples of the care that you've received from him and from others. What does God's invitation for you look like today? His gentle, his persistent call to a life of joy. On this day, a day like any other, are you confronted by the words of the angel saying, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people? Will you, just as you are, be humble and seek out Jesus? And as you meet with Jesus, will you go to those you love and share this joy? This Christmas, as we sing, as we write cards and talk about hope, love, joy, and peace, but the truest demonstration and the truest source of these things is only found in Jesus, the Messiah of Christmas. This Christmas season, let Jesus himself be your cause for great joy. If you seek him, you will find him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that as God's own son, you came to earth to be with us, to save us, to offer us salvation, to be able to enter into the presence of the living God and to make your home inside of us through your Spirit, that we would be able to experience the same joy, the eternal joy that exists within our God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your patience. We thank you, God, that you never give up on us, but you constantly invite us back to you. Would you lead us? Would you guide us to say yes to this invitation? God, I pray that each of us would experience the true joy of your presence, the true joy of being in right relationship with you, the life-changing work of your Spirit in us bearing fruit, and then we might be thirsty, hungry for more, that we would recognize once and for all that nothing else will do. And that we would share this joy with everyone in our lives, that it would radiate from us through your Spirit and your Spirit alone. We thank you, Jesus, for all you are and all that you have done. May we have your joy this Christmas and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.